Tonight, as we go into another new series, we're going to talk about a life of prayer. And some of us wonder how people could spend so much time in prayer. Well, there's a lot that can happen in prayer. Let's look at the Bible in the Gospel of Luke to see some people who spend their time in prayer. And Gospel of Luke. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Gospel of Luke. We're going to look at Anna the prophetess. Gospel of Luke, and we look at Luke chapter 2. Gospel of Luke chapter 2. It says in Luke chapter 2, verse 36 and 37, "Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years. She was by that time about 84 years old, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." And then she has the blessing of coming across our Lord Jesus. Now here's the interesting thing. Serving God with fastings and prayers night and day. We cannot conceive of how anyone could spend so much time with God in prayers and fasting. And bear in mind that at that time, the baptism in the Spirit has not come yet. And so all her prayers were the prayers of groaning and travail and prayer with understanding. Yet she could spend all her life serving God with fastings and prayer. And then we look at also another person here in the Bible. And this person, we find him mentioned in the book of Colossians. In the book of Colossians, we're going to see some people who spend time ministering to God in prayer as the Lord. Chapter 4 of Colossians, verse 12. His name is Epaphras, short for Epaphroditus. In Colossians chapter 4 verse 12, it tells us here, and this is after the baptism of the Spirit, says, "Epaphras, who is one of you," so he must be from the Colossian city, "a bond servant of Christ, greets you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in the will of God." Now, what does it mean to labor? I mean, this is work. The word here, labor, has to do with the Greek word here, agonizo, which talks about great agony, always like a woman giving birth. Always laboring fervently for you in prayers. So here's another guy who spends time just praying. They live a life of prayer. We do not know Epaphras, whether he was a good preacher, whether he was a good teacher, whether he was one of those who were missionaries like Paul. We do not know all his other gifts, but the one gift that stands out in his life was his ability to labor in prayer. That's something we need to take note of. And the Bible tells us, and if it was the same man that is mentioned in terms of Paul saying how that he desired this Epaphras to continue in great prayers for all the saints that were there. And Paul one time talked about how he's even labor and given himself laboring until he almost fell sick. If it could be the same Epaphroditus, then he would be a tremendous man who dedicate his life to serving God in prayers, and I believe probably in fastings too. So here we're talking about people who live their life in prayer. On top of that, we sometimes forget that the Apostle Paul was a man of prayer too. Unlike many modern preachers today who expect others to pray for them. And of course it's good to have intercessors praying for you. But Paul himself was not just an apostle, an evangelist and a teacher. Paul himself was a man of prayer. And we look at some examples here. Looking at Corinthians. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. Paul says, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than you all. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing about tongues. He says, I speak in tongues more than all of you put together. So you can imagine how much prayer he does in his private life. And not forgetting that each time he writes to the churches, he always says that, look, I'm praying for you always before the Lord. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It says in verse 4, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you. So he thanked God for them and he prayed for them and he speaks in tongues more than all of them. And then we look at the book of Galatians. He writes to the Galatians in Galatians when they were about to fall apart and go back to the law. Paul says in Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, my little children, for whom I labor in birth, again unto Christ is formed in you. Now this is the Apostle Paul talking about how he labor in birth. And that's hard work. And the illustration is as a woman giving birth. And those of us who haven't experienced it, let me tell you, it's hard work. A woman giving birth is no kidding. It's really hard work. And Paul illustrates prayer like a woman giving birth. Now, how long was his travail? How long did he pray? According to the book of Romans chapter 8, he understands this level of prayer and speaks of it as a work of the Holy Spirit. In Romans chapter 8 verse 22, he says, for we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Romans 8:22, now 23. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And Paul is talking here about praying with great groanings before God. So let's ask the question here. And here is after the baptism in the Spirit. We have people before the baptism in the Spirit, like Anna the prophetess, who serve God with fastings and prayer. And then we have people after the baptism in the Spirit, like the Apostle Paul, Epaphras, and I'm sure countless many others who serve God in prayers, in groanings. And not only that, they talk about it like work. It's labor before God in prayer. And we look at all this and we marvel and we say, wow, how did these people spend all this time in prayer before God? What's this life of prayer? And that's why we want to talk a little bit on this series on the life of prayer and how wonderful that life of prayer can be. Now, so far, all the scriptures we read looks very frightening to y'all. And laboring, wow, serving, fasting. And but the life of prayer can be something very wonderful. A life of prayer was what Jesus lived. Jesus lived a life of prayer. In fact, the Gospel of Luke likes to focus on how Jesus prayed all the time. And if the word pray is counted in many of the in all the four Gospels, you find that the Gospel of Luke emphasizes it a lot. Now, Luke, as you know, was a companion of Paul. And when one writes about prayer, one must have observed prayer. And Jesus' life was a life of prayer. We all know that. But let's look at the Gospel of Luke again. And see Jesus and his life of prayer. We see in the Gospel of Luke, after Jesus' water baptism, from chapter 4 onwards, chapter 4, verse 42. When his ministry started, it tells us here that now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place. And the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Now Jesus always sought a place to pray. He's a man of prayer. He lived a life of prayer. And this is early in the ministry, as he's ministering in Capernaum, and there were many, many people coming and going. Yet in the midst of all the busyness and the beehive activity, early in the morning, he went aside to look for quiet time with God, to pray, to intercede. We see that again in the Gospel of Luke. And this time we look over in Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. That after he has done all his teaching and he has done what he needed to do with his disciples, it says in chapter 6 verse 12. Chapter 6 verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night. And this is not Gethsemane. This is just one of his normal night. He continued all night in prayers to God. So he talked about all night prayer. It was nothing new to Jesus. This is just one of the many nights that Jesus spent in all night prayer. So if we think we were special doing all night prayer, we're just catching up with Jesus. Jesus knew what an all-night prayer. Don't forget, we pray corporately, we help each other. But Jesus, when he has to travail over certain things, he was all alone, one person praying all night. His disciples still haven't learned how to pray. Because when he came down, the disciples were down there, not with him up there. And he came down, and then he started calling his disciples and the 12 disciples together. How many times do you pray through? See, we think that Jesus, Son of God, have it easy. After all, God loved him. We always have the picture that all the miracles, when Jesus Christ was filled with the Holy Spirit, all the miracles just fall on him, you know. Just easy. Everywhere he go, just the miracles all over the place. He had it easy all the time. We forgot how many times he had to travail with God in prayer. In the book of Hebrews, of course, it tells us in Hebrews 5, how he groaned and he cried out to God many times. Now, if that's the life of Jesus, and of course some people say, well, Jesus did it for us. That's the cross. On the cross, the atonement was for us. But everything Jesus did in his life before the cross was an example for us. Because having received the same Spirit, we should do what he is able to do. The works that I do, he say, you will do also. Now, when he say, the works that I do, you will do also, all of us think about the miracles, correct? Hey, what about the prayers? The works that I do, you will do also. What about the all-night prayers? See, we only want the nice ones. See, the works that I do, you will do also. All the wonderful miracles. We forgot that behind all those things, his works include all these works. Like spending all night with God praying. And sometimes as the Spirit leads us,
There's something. He didn't do it every night, we know. But there were times when he would go aside and he really prevail and travail before God. We're talking about life of prayer. And I'm just painting the life of Jesus. The life that he lived was a life of prayer. A life of prayer. Well, there Jesus prayed all night before he called his 12 disciples together. And then we realized that when he was teaching his disciples and speaking to them, of course, at particular points where it was important, you find that the Gospel of Luke always emphasized the prayer that Jesus did. And let's look at chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Only in the Gospel of Luke does it record an amount of transfiguration in verse 29 that as he prayed. Jesus knew that he was going to be transfigured because he predicted it. He predicted to the Peter, James and John that they are going to see the kingdom of God. And he knew that God was going to do something special up on the mountain, different from other times. And when they were all up there and everything was all set, everything was ready, he didn't sit back and relax and let God do the work. That everything was as it is, then Jesus has to enter into prayer. And it says that as he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. As he prayed. Take away the prayer, the transformation wouldn't happen. The whole story or the transfiguration would not have happened if not for the prayer. And we do not know how long he prayed, but one thing we know. Although he predicted it and he spoke to the disciples, took three of them out to the mountain, he had to still pray and pray, and only as he prayed, slowly there was a transformation. And we all know that later on, Moses and Elijah appeared. So sometimes God speaks to us certain things. And then we go there and we're waiting on God. We think waiting on God is waiting like waiting for a bus. You sit down, read a book or do something else. But waiting on God is spending time in prayer before Him. After whatever God speaks. If God has promised you something and that something has not come to pass yet, what would you do? Pray. Prevail. Travail in prayer. That's what we are supposed to do. A life of prayer. And that's Gospel of Luke chapter 9. And particularly in chapter 11. Do you know the context of how the Lord's Prayer came about? It came because the disciples knew he was a man of prayer and said, teach us to pray. Now, would you ask a person to teach you to pray unless you observe how he prayed powerfully? The context was, in chapter 11, verse 1. It came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, which was his habit. So they must be observing. They thought following Jesus all the time is hearing Jesus keep teaching and talking, teaching and talking, teaching and talking. No. When they follow Jesus, sometimes they have to wait while Jesus pray finish. And maybe that day Jesus pray very long. And many times he must have prayed well. Of course, the disciples probably can only pray very short. Many times he asked them to pray, even at Gethsemane, ask them to pray still fall asleep. So Jesus could pray long, they pray short. And of course, Jesus might have said, they were with Jesus in Luke chapter 11. Jesus might say, let us all pray. And then he prayed. Oh, he prayed and prayed. All disciples, pray, 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 pray. After that, finish. You look at Jesus, still praying. Must have felt embarrassed, keep praying some more. Then after praying, look, well, Jesus still praying. So, since they want to look a bit righteous and holy, so that when Jesus pray finish, see them, wow, they still pray, so they better pray, hoping that Jesus catch them praying. So maybe they pray with one eye open. And Jesus come in, pray. And so the Jesus catch them pray. No, whatever it was, Jesus prayed long enough for them to observe him. It says there, and he was praying in a certain place. And when he ceased praying, Jesus every day, for him every day that he gets up was a life of prayer. Non-stop. Right until the last night before he was crucified. It's a life of prayer. And when you read the life of Jesus, which you can classify to be a life of prayer, you wonder why so many of the disciples are not like him with a life of prayer. You know why? Because some of our own leaders whom we follow, the people who brought us to Christ, the preachers or the pastors' church that we used to attend or we grew up in, we don't see them having a life of prayer. As a result, we pray less and less. And you follow someone who don't pray, and you follow everything except what they don't do, you also don't do. And so we lack, in the 20th century, we lack people who live a life of prayer. And we need to get that move back again for people who live in prayer. Wouldn't it be wonderful that you live a life of prayer? What is the life of prayer? That's what we're trying to define here. But we look at Jesus first, right? So let's finish looking at Jesus. They observe him, and then one of his disciples said, "Teach us to pray. We don't know how to pray." In other words, no, you can pray. We can't pray. Teach us to pray. And then that's when Jesus talk about the Lord's Prayer. Now, when he teach the Lord's Prayer, he was not just teaching us to memorize the Lord's Prayer so that we go very short. Lord's Prayer can be prayed in 5 minutes. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us sins as we forgive those trespasses against us. Okay. And deliver us the evil one, and know all that, and die the kingdom of your power. Whatever. 5 minutes and pray. That is not what Jesus teaches. That was not a formula. Of course, you can verbalize the prayer with all your heart. No problem there. I got no problem with us uttering the Lord's Prayer. But what he was telling us was how to always enter the presence of God. The first thing is to just focus on God. Not on ourselves. God first. And then God who is in heaven. And then to worship him. The hallowed be your name. That part is to worship. To proclaim God's holiness and the greatness of his name. And then to ask that his kingdom come, his will be done, you know. So you're praying for his kingdom come, you're praying for his will to be done. Because his will is not being done on earth. When you get into the MRT, MRT could be filled with thousands of people. In one train, let's say usually you got about 6 cars, sometimes you got 8 cars. A normal one got 8 cars, a short one got 6 cars, or 3 cars. And let's say you got 100 in each car, so you got 800 if it's fully packed. And it squeezed a little bit, you might have 1,000 in 8 cars. And you wonder, as you enter into the MRT, is God's will being done in every life here? Oh, God's will not being done. Let's pray for everyone. See, you've got so much to pray about. And you've got to keep praying for God's will to be done all the time. And all the other, plus, of course, your own needs are there. Give us this day our daily bread and forgiveness and everything else. But basically, the disciples were impressed with Jesus' prayer life. That's Luke chapter 11. That's how the Lord's Prayer came about. Somebody asked him how to pray. And as Jesus continues, and in Gospel of Luke, of course, talks about all these various parables. Among them, of course, are parables of prayer. But we jump forward to chapter 18, verse 1. Among his parables, he says, "Then he spoke a parable to them, that man always ought to pray and not to lose heart." Now, this parable was actually teaching us to pray unceasingly. Not to pray short prayers. But this parable was spoken by Jesus so that we will never lose heart. We will keep persisting in prayer. Continual protracted prayer. And that's where he talked about the persistent widow who warned against the unjust judge. And if there's one thing stand out in the whole parable, it was how continuous, persistent, day after day. That is the picture Jesus painted. And he was trying to talk about not the lack of faith, but the persistence. And basically he was talking about a daily life of prayer that needs to come about. And we have, of course, all the other events that Jesus fulfilled after that. And very quickly, we move to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22, verse 39. Luke chapter 22, but we also know that he did pray for Peter too. Well, the verses before, Luke chapter 22, verse 31. Look at Luke 22, verse 31 first. The Lord said to Peter, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned on to me, strengthen your brethren." Now, Peter says, "I'm ready to even die for you." What a hero. He's so self-confident. "I'm ready to die for you." And the next place, he is ready to run away. So he doesn't know who he is. But Jesus knew he was going to face a trial. The trial has not happened yet. Jesus knew it was going to happen, and he knew it has to happen. He has to be tested. And Jesus already prayed for him for the trial, and prayed for him out of the trial, and prayed him back into God. He hasn't even fallen. Jesus already prayed him back. Think about the power of prayer. And sometimes we wonder, maybe your loved ones, the children go astray because you lack prayer. You never pray for them before they enter the temptation. And you never had the persistence to pray them out of the temptation and back like Jesus prayed for Peter. The problem was not your children. The problem was your own lack of a life of prayer. And you pay the price and you blame God. Or sometimes we look at our loved ones who might go astray. And then we blame them. It's their choice. Was it Peter's choice? Yes. But he was covered with prayer before he went in, until he came out. And sometimes some of the things that take place I believe that the leader over the church has a responsibility to pray for the sheep. So that even before you all get into temptation, I must pray for you all. So that you are surrounded with prayer when you enter temptation, which sometimes cannot be avoided. Testing, everyone go to testing. But I pray you back into God. Even better, I pray you back into all night prayer. So you join the prayer. Anyway, but we must believe this power of prayer. And I believe that is every leader's role to be a prayer warrior for the people under them. And of course, for the people who are following, they can pray back for the leader. The Bible did say in the Gospel of 1 Timothy to pray for leaders too. So when you go both sides covering in prayer, tell me where Satan can come in. Before Satan does any testing, you already pray people up. And you pray people through, you pray people out. Before even Satan try anything, you already pray. See, Satan trying to do something. And Jesus knew it. And Jesus says, "Simon, you're going to be sifted like wheat. You're about to be tested. But I pray for you. When you have come back, strengthen the rest. Say, what are you talking about, Lord? I'm talking about something you don't even know yet. What? Well, you're going to be tested, you're going to fail. Miserably. But don't worry, I pray you'll come back. And by the way, come back not enough. You come back very strong so that you can strengthen the rest. Look at Jesus. His confidence in prayer. And with such prayer, the church will be a very powerful church. The thing here is that many people take shortcuts. We don't realize that the atonement places you into the position of a priest. We all want to be kings, but we never want to be priests. Kings, wow, you know, you're being served. Take authority. But a priest is one who represents others whom they intercede for. We are called kings and priests, and we are supposed to be praying. If every pastor prays for his sheep, their results will be more steady. Because there are some things you can do through teaching, there are some things you can do through training, but there are some things you can only do through prayer. Which is what I always tell people. You can never run from my prayers. Because when we pray, we will pray you back into God. If you're supposed to be a part of the fellowship here, we'll pray you back in, pray you strong, pray you into functioning in your role. And it's important that we learn to pray for others too. And so if the leaders are praying for the sheep, and the sheep is praying for the leaders, where Satan has any place? Before he starts, we already pray finish. And then, as he's about to start, say, hey Satan, and you go, we pray, let's say we finish all the prayer, and then you walk out, and Satan is just waiting for you outside the gate. And you come back and say, hey Satan, I knew you were about to tempt me 3 days' time, but really pray 3 days' time, you know, remember to tempt me, because I'm about to be tempted by you. And then, 3 days' time, don't forget, and then say, what are you talking about? Oh, the Lord knew you're going to tempt. You know you're going to do all this testing. And by the way, after you finish all this thing, we're going to come back all right and you'll be defeated. Satan must feel very discouraged. Right? Before he start his attack, you already told him about his defeat. And that's what Jesus said to Peter. He says, Satan will sieve you like wheat, but I prayed for you. Wow. His prayer is so strong. I prayed for you. That your faith shall not fail. He will succeed in the end. And when you have returned, strengthen your brethren. I got a job for you, he says, Peter. When you come back, now your turn to strengthen that. And that was his personal prayer for. When did he pray for Peter? Definitely sometime before verse 31. But there's no record of him praying. Again, I said, he lived a life of prayer. Every day he prayed. If we will spend as much time in prayer as our Lord Jesus, then we will see the works that he did. But it's because we don't live a life of prayer. So here, sometimes we don't live a life of prayer. We only pray. Our prayer is only prayer of need. When we need him, we pray. When we don't need him, we don't pray. Jesus, in season, out of season, always praying. And then now in the garden, look at chapter 22, verse 39. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed. And his disciples also followed him. So he got the usual favorite place to pray. And he says, as was his custom, he went to the Mount of Olives. And then he went to this place in Gethsemane. A place that later John, Gospel of John tells us that it was a place that Judas even know. He regularly go to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. Only a person who live a life of prayer needs a habitual place to go to. Correct. If you don't live a constant life of prayer, why do you need a place to pray?
You pray, you know, once in a blue moon. But Jesus, when he went there, and then you read about how his agonizing prayer in Gethsemane, that he prayed through. And by the time he prayed through, he said, "That's it." When you cross reference with the other scriptures like Matthew and Mark and John, you find that Jesus say, "It is finished. It's done. He's prayed through." There is a time and a place that Jesus knows how to pray through. So here in Jesus' life, we show forth that Jesus was a man of prayer. And the last few words only recorded in the Gospel of Luke 24, in verse 49, he tells the disciples, "Tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." And then, of course, he blessed them. We're talking about the life of prayer. We have seen the life of prayer in Jesus. We can see the life of prayer in Paul's life. Every church, he said, "I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you, I'm praying for you." He said, "I speak in tongues more than all of you," to the Corinthians. And he said, "The Galatians, I travail again for you." He's always in this prayer. And it was Paul who also says, "Pray unceasingly." So this is an aspect of prayer that we need to cultivate into our life. And how do we get into this life of prayer? Well, firstly, as we see from Jesus' life, and we see from the life of some of the disciples, if you like, look over at the Gospel of Mark. We see here in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verse 35. "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." Firstly, have a place of prayer. Jesus found places to pray wherever he went. When he was living in Capernaum, he knew a place where he can go and quietly pray. Now, not all his prayers are necessarily quiet. Sometimes, I mean, he pray and he really weep and agonize. We know that when he's near Jerusalem, at the Mount of Olives, he got his favorite place on the mountain, and then there's Gethsemane. So every place that Jesus goes, the first thing he looked for was a place to pray. What do you and I look for? Where is your prayer closet? Because nowadays, the modern closet too small to go in. Your clothes enough fill the closet, you can't go in to pray. Long ago, they had big closets. But in a sense, we all need a prayer closet. We all need a place to go to pray. Most of the time, it could be a bedroom beside your bed where you kneel down. And of course, if your house is big enough, then you dedicate a room, prayer room. Some people have prayer rooms. Of course, we don't have our own church premises yet, but I can assure you, the day we have church premises, we definitely have a prayer room dedicated to just prayer. 24 hours, anyone to come, just go and pray. It's important to have a place to pray. And Jesus also have a time of prayer. For him it was morning, but sometimes it was also late at night. You saw from Luke chapter 6, he prayed all night. And in some incidences, after a healing meeting, he will go and find somewhere quiet. You find that in the Gospel of John, for example. But let's look at the one in Matthew. In Matthew, after the healing that took place, chapter 14, Matthew, after the feeding of the 5,000 and much healing. So I guess it was late in the evening, in the afternoon. It says in verse 22, 23, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, where he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Again, you see him praying. Now, most people at the end of the ministry will just want to flop on their bed and sleep. Jesus always starts the day with prayer, and he ends the day with prayer. So some of you might say, oh, I'm a morning person, you pray. Some of you say you're a night bird. Owl is your name. And you always pray at night. Well, Jesus prayed both morning and night. So if we live a life of prayer, you got to pray in the morning, you got to pray at night. Because now some of you are getting concerned. Say, well, I pray in the morning, how to go to work? Whatever times you can find. A life of prayer means that whatever time you find time to pray. Whether it be short, I can understand it can be short or long. We need to pray morning and night. Meditation on the word is also there. You notice how meditation talk about two times. I didn't say one time. And because in many times it include fellowship with God and your relationship with God. Look at Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. Now we're talking about a life, building a life of prayer. And of course the word. Joshua chapter 1 verse 8. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Hey, twice. When you get up, before you sleep. Say, wow. And I don't know how much meditation Joshua did, but I'm sure he did portions of it. Good thing the Lord didn't say, this whole book of the law. Well, he had to do the whole book of Matthew, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And that would be a lot. Twice a day. Psalms chapter 1. Psalms chapter 1. When we begin to look at what God expects from us, we realize that normal Christianity is actually abnormal. And what we all are beginning to find as spending so much time with God, we thought is already very good, we find that compared to Jesus, we are still halfway there. In Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. There you have it. So whether you're morning person or night person, you still pray twice. Of course, I understand one will be shorter than the other, because you might either get up late or stay up late. Stay up late, you couldn't get up that early. You get up early, you cannot stay up that late. I know. But whichever way, Jesus covered both ends of the day with prayer. And that includes the Word of God. And when we look like, that's 365 and a quarter days every year. Don't miss one day. And now when we compare ourselves to the Bible, most of us are backslidden. And the others who are not even learning prayer, they've already gone case. way out before God. And then we ask a question, why no miracles? Why no works of Jesus? Why no signs and wonders? Where is the God who did all those things in the Bible? You thought Jesus had it easy.
Jesus also has to be morning and night. He had to pray. And so we mentioned a place of prayer, times of prayer, and not forgetting, you have to be able to pray alone. Depending on others, learning from others is all training. The secret is to be able to learn the art of whenever you have any situation, you learn to enter into prayer with God. And Jesus always seek, you notice the word, a solitary place. And then in Matthew 14, after he had sent his disciples, he went aside to be alone. He wants to be alone. Alone doesn't mean lonely, because he had God and the angels. But he wants to be alone. He wants to get back into the place of communion with God. And even in Gethsemane, when he told his disciples to join him in prayer, do you remember what he did? He went a little further. Maybe because he doesn't want the snoring of his disciples to disturb him. But because, remember, the disciples keep falling asleep 3 times. He keep coming back to wake them up. Quite a distraction. But Jesus went a little further. Why a little further? Wants to be alone. And here's the other thing. A place, times of prayer, alone. Why alone? Because when you're actually really praying, it's you and God. You can be surrounded by many people, which is why we give you a chance to do both in all-night prayer. That even though we're in a crowd, you can still feel your aloneness with God. The others are just creating an atmosphere of prayer. And we need to find this aloneness with God, where you really encounter God one-to-one. And you pray before God. And you talk as if there's no other person but you and God. That solitary place with you and God. Being alone with God. And you haven't learned to be alone with God, you can never be powerful in the crowds. You have to be powerful alone with God, then you have power in the crowds. Always learning this walk with God. This is the life of prayer that we're recommending from our Lord Jesus Christ. That we see, and then we compare that, and then we ask ourselves this question. Do you have place to pray? Perhaps you could be at work, at lunch hour in your work, and you might find a place that you find quietly to pray, or in your home, or in the surroundings around your home. You find a place to pray. Of course, in this society that we have in a congested city, it's hard to find a place. But your place could be just a little corner in a room, or the corner of your bed. But a place where you would kneel down before God, a place where you could commune with God, or sit down on a comfortable chair and just spend time with God and pray. It's important to pray. Find a place and find the times. Twice. Day and night. And thirdly, that aloneness with God. When you develop this life of prayer that God has for us, we will enter in a place that God has reserved for each one of us. Now, Paul, we can see later, we're going to cover this series and talk about developing a life of prayer before God. Jesus has given us some ability to pray. And these 3 points have to do with some external side to a certain extent. But then I want to give some internal points to help you along. In Romans chapter 8,
in Romans chapter 8, whether you are praying or not, the Spirit in you is already praying. Which means that I don't need to so much as initiate the prayer, as tap upon the Spirit in me who is wanting to pray. In Romans chapter 8. It says here in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So the Spirit Himself makes intercession. And then verse 27, the He makes intercession, the word He is capitalized, and even in context without capitalizing, it emphasizes the Spirit. So He is making the intercession for us. And that makes it one step easy, which means that it's not you and I trying to pray. Praise God. Not so much our effort. It is us tapping upon some part of you where the Holy Spirit lives and He wants to pray. Put it this way, the Spirit wants to pray. It is we who are stopping Him from praying. We who are not giving Him the time of the day to pray. We who are not yielding Him to pray. He wants to pray. And if we will let the Spirit inside us pray through and pray, we will have the blessings of verse 28. Where all things work together for good to those who love God. All these things. And when we look back at Jesus' life, no wonder everything falls into place. Because he prayed for Himself. He prayed for His disciples. And you know why Satan has come to Him? He says Satan has a desire to come after you. You know why? Satan couldn't get to the disciples. Because they were covered in prayer. So Satan comes to Jesus. I demand Simon. Say, why? He has this weakness that attracts me there. See? When you got something that attracts him, Jesus says, alright, you can test him, but you will fail. And then he tells Peter to prepare also. See, Satan can only attack you in an area that he already has a hole in you. Jesus says, he has nothing in me. That's why he couldn't attack Jesus. And so we have here that Satan couldn't even find a place to win. He not only lost the war, he lost every battle with Jesus. Every small skirmish also he lost. Because Jesus lived a life of prayer. Satan is afraid of us learning a life of prayer. He's more frightened of people of prayer than anything else. Because we know what he's about to do, and we pray finish what he intends to do to victory. We already defeat him before he started his attack. And if all things will work together for good, there is no area in your life that will not turn around with prayer. Sometimes you might have to pray through in the night. So sometimes all night prayer. Thank God we got all night prayer that help you to make sure that every week at least you spend one night a week in all night prayer. But compare us to Jesus, we are still not all the way there. So remember, let's not take too much pride in all that we have done. Compared to Jesus, we are still a long way. But at least thank God we are along the way. But tonight I want to encourage you to develop this life of prayer. It will mean so much to our Father God. It will mean it so much to our Lord Jesus. And it will be a powerful transformation of your life in a way that you never had. When you increase in prayer. Do your meditation, but increase in prayer. So it's easy because the Spirit inside us already wants to pray. And all we have to do is to let this prayer come forth. And when it comes forth, it's going to be powerful before God.
But I also like to point to the book of Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Paul tells us here in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. Now notice he starts with the word in verse 6, be anxious for nothing. But he says, in everything, by prayer and supplication, thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. How often should we say a prayer to God or turn on the prayer mode in our life? Whenever you feel anxious. That's learning the life of prayer. See, anxiety comes to each of our life. Matthew 6 tells us not to worry, but people still worry. Because situations catch you off guard. News, bad news, good news, all the news reports come to us all the time. And life is changing. Every day, things are different. Every day, you deal with different things. But there is one common thing that takes place. Whenever anxiety comes, it means the prayer mode must be switched on. See, what happens if you don't turn on the prayer mode? You will be overwhelmed. See, prayer is like a garrison around us. Remember how Jesus is way ahead. Before something happened, he prayed ahead. See, prayer is something that you already prepare the ground before you walk on the ground. Whenever anxiety tries to come, each anxiety has to be regarded as a pothole that the devil throws a dart into your armor. And if there's one thought of anxiety, one emotion of anxiety, that immediately must be pulled out. Some of us don't see in the spirit. But in the spirit, this is what you're like. You will be prayed up. Let's say you really did what we say. You pray up. And then every day, you live and go into your normal life from the prayer chamber. You spend time with God. And every day you come back, you enter into the chamber of prayer again. So as you leave the chamber of prayer to do your work or what you need to do throughout your life, you're surrounded by this atmosphere of prayer. But somewhere throughout the day, whether you receive a report, receive news, or you converse with someone, or the thoughts that come from surrounding areas begin to press on you. And it's like the devil firing a dart at you. Shoom. And at first it hits the prayer cloud. Shoom. It disappears. But he keeps throwing. There are demons out there, they keep throwing. And then once in a while, one anxious thought gets through. One anxious emotions. Anxiety. Anxiety is a sign that your prayer armor has been breached. Anxiety is yellow alert. You don't want to wait till red alert. Red alert means you're completely naked. All your armor has dropped to the floor. Your helmet of salvation is somewhere behind you. Your breastplate of righteousness, don't know where you lost it. Girdle of truth, all torn to pieces. Shoes of gospel of peace disappeared. No more peace. That is red alert. So we're not talking about red alert. Talking about yellow alert. Whenever anxiety comes,
yellow alert. You immediately turn on prayer. See how to turn on when you're with people? You pray silently. You pray quietly. I don't mean that you turn on by screaming at the top of your voice. You could be in the middle of the MRT train, crowded. Don't mean that you suddenly, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Of course, that might be another way to get space for yourself. The mad guy is there. Right? But you could begin to pray and enter this atmosphere of prayer. You could pray very quietly. I'm praying right now. I'm praying right now. I pray quietly. I could pray in a whisper. And I don't always have to close my eyes. You can open your eyes as big as two eggs and still be praying. You learn to turn on the prayer mode whenever. That's an important skill. So remember, anxiety is yellow alert. And by the time you feel fear, that's red alert. Because we should never experience fear. The only fear is the fear of God. Whenever that comes in, then you know your armor is not there. Of course, the shield of faith absorbs a lot of the darts. And the shield of faith you got through your meditation. And when you pray ahead and you understand how to turn on the prayer mode, and some people live their lives in that manner. There are some books that talk about how some intercessors, let me think about which one of them. I think even Roberts, towards the later part of his life, because even Roberts actually lived a long time. After the Wales Revival is still going on. And some people wonder whether he backslidden or not. And apparently it must be very English. Towards the end of his life, he actually was like an Englishman smoking a pipe. even Roberts. But I have a book about him, that about his latter years, that he was actually quite an intercessor. And sometimes he could talk to you halfway in a normal conversation, and then it's like something caught him. Then he'll go. Disappear. Then you're wondering, what's happening to him? Then after a while he comes back, and then he continues the conversation. Say, where did he go? He had a call to prayer. So he spent most of the time that way, always praying and praying before God. And intercessor is that way, a life of prayer. Well, the last verse that we want to look at is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. That's the best. To be able to cultivate a life of prayer where you pray without ceasing always. You're always in prayer, always in the presence of God. And to do that, we will need to pray, learn how to pray with travail, pray quietly, and all those, because life is mixed up of different situations, which we're going to teach in this series about all the different levels you could do in prayer and many things that can happen in prayer. But today we just introduce you to the importance of the life of prayer. We never know that it's very that important. It was the key to Jesus' success. It was the key to Paul's success. It was the key to the success of the early church. And it is the only key to Christian success today. And to the success of any business or any church. Prayer is the key. As long as you can pray, you can never fail. As long as you can pray, the devil cannot win. As long as you can pray, you know the outcome will be good. Your victory is guaranteed. You're assured of a breakthrough in our lives. So let's now get into the place in God
And we worship for a little bit, but remember, to get into a place with you and God, and you and God prevailing, you and God talking, you and God communion, and we could be all around here praying, and there will be corporate prayer, of course there will be. But press into God. I encourage you, press into God. Find a place in God where you can just break through into heaven. And that's what God wants for us tonight. Praise God. So we just worship and then enter into time of prayer as the lights are slowly dim. Thank you, Jesus.
Unfold your sovereign plan. Raise up a chosen generation that will march through the land. Creation is longing for your unveiling of power. Would you release your anointing? Oh God, let this be the hour. Your glory fall in this room. Let it go far from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Ruler of the nations, the world has yet to see the fullness grace of your promise. The church in victory, let your glory fall in this room. Let it go far from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Turn to us, Lord, and touch us. Make us strong in your mind. Overcome our weakness, that we should stand up and fight. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go far from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let your sea on earth, the glory of your Son. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go far from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Let us see on earth the glory of your Son. Let your glory fall in this room. Let it go far from here to the nations. Let your fragrance rest in this place as we gather to seek your face. Right now, wherever you are, lift up your hands before God. We're going to pray for an anointing to come on your life, that God will enable you to live a life of prayer. That will even begin tonight. That you begin to discover how to pray in many, many ways. And in the life of prayer, that will cause you to pray unceasingly. And we'll teach more about that. But in the meantime, let the spirit of prayer come upon you. The spirit of prayer and supplication is here today. Let it come upon your life. Urra baka 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 baka. Oh Lord, baka baka baka, Lord, put a spirit of prayer upon your people. We thank you, Lord, baka 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 baka. Oh Lord, forgive us for your prayerlessness, Lord. Cause us, Lord, to be a people who are watching, watchful and prayerful, Lord. Oh rabaka baka 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 baka. Oh Lord, let the spirit of prayer and supplication come upon each one here, Lord. Oh Lord, prayer morning, night and day, Lord. Oh Lord, we pray in several ways, Lord. Lumara gabari kebari ata la baka badi kebari ata la baka badi ata la baka 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 bada kala bash. Ada mane gamari ana la ma mari ana la ma mane gamari gala ma mane ana la ma ma mari ata la mas. Arre mari kebari ana la mane gala mane gala mane gala ma mane ana la ma mari ana la ma ma mari ana la mas. Gabari ana la mane kebari ana la mane kebari ana la ma gabari ana la mane kebari ana la mane kebari ana. Kabari anda la mani gimini 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 anda la mani gimini. Lord, we don't want just to pray, we want a life of prayer. Oh, we don't want just to pray once in a while, we want a life of prayer. All things are possible in prayer. All things will yield to the power of prayer. Oh, our Father, He is our prayer. To Him. Oh God Almighty, pour on us the spirit of supplication and thanksgiving as we pray to You. Oh Lord, here we are, waiting at Your feet. So come, sweet Spirit of the living God, come on us, come upon us, and speak through us. Oh, we will pray, we will cry, we will sing, we will worship, we will bless, we will praise the Lord. We will call, we will have faith, we will yell and we will honor His name. Siri allori anneri atteri atteri atala mamamasa. Oh, pray in the spirit, pray in understanding, pray, pray like your life depends upon You. For indeed your life depends upon your ability to pray. Gamariya nere beriya nalama babariya taraba gabariya tere beriya talababas gemeriya talabarabash. For there are those who have stopped praying and their lives have turned the other way. Many have fainted, many fall aside, because they lack the power of prayer. And I will raise, says the Lord, I will raise an army of intercessors. And they will pray night and day, day and night and day, day and night, before My throne. Gemeriana la mama bariana la mama bariana la mashana la mama bariana la mas. Gamriana rabaga bariate riata rabaga baga baga bariga bariata la mama baba baba bariana la mas. Oh, Rabaka Bariana Ramanga Bariana Ramanga Mamma 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 Mamma